Prison Colony Resistance is brought to you by Sam and the Maxman Productions. This feels like this pandemic. Welcome back, listeners. This is the Vax Man greeting you back for episode 5. We are in a never-ending story of pandemic fever, pandemic doom. Hopefully, our co-host has survived all of the coronavirus Omicron that's out there. Sam, are you in the house?
I'm here, mate. You know, don't worry about Omicron. That's yesterday's news. It's all about Deltacron now, isn't it?
Ooh, the Deltacron. What happened to the Florona?
One hit wonder.
Oh, that's funny. And I think you were the lead singer for the group as well. So I'm sure you're raking in the riches now from that one hit.
The royalties are coming in thick and fast, but obviously not that thick and fast that I'm still here talking to you on a Tuesday night.
Oh, you're going to dump us like a hot potato once you get your riches. Oh, hey, good to know, Sam.
Money talks. Money talks.
Oh my goodness, there is another virus out there, another strain. It's called the, what was it called again?
Deltacron, I think.
Deltacron. I can't even keep up anymore. It's too many.
It's a mixture between Delta and Omicron, and apparently it's making its way through Europe and Africa, and it hitched a ride on a whale somewhere. I don't know anymore. I honestly can't keep up.
It was hanging out with Pinocchio. They were both telling lies together about how effective they are.
Yeah, and you know, Jiminy Cricket, he's laid up in ICU. He's on a ventilator. He's completely fucked.
Having a conscience this day and age is not a good idea, I think.
It's not going to get you anywhere, is it?
Not at all. Not at all. So
turn your brain off.
It's happening. And another reason we haven't really kept up with all the strains, not only are they coming thick and fast, but also Sam and the Vaxman, we've been a bit busy recently. We've been trying to bring little jewels of information for our listeners. Sam, what have we been up to recently?
We've been bloody busy, haven't we? You know, we took a little bit of a road trip on Sunday and headed out north to meet a merry band of resistance fighters, and I gotta say it was nice to see how the other communities are kind of, you know, getting their shit together and preparing. And I gotta say, the sense of community out there was very pleasing. You know,
it is. It's a great group. It was started by a friend of mine. And he had moved to South Australia recently, and he wanted to kind of share the love and kind of meet people of a like mindset. And so he started a Telegram channel. So the name of the group is called Gawler Barossa Valley Freedom. So they have picnics every fortnight. If you're interested and if you're in the area, come and visit. You can find their channel on Telegram, GBV Freedom. So if you go to the GBV Freedom Telegram chat, they'll tell you when the picnics are happening, and you'll get to see very cool speakers, very interesting speakers. We saw one really good speaker there that past weekend, who we then got to interview the next day or a couple of days later.
Yeah, Tim Dwyer is kind of a familiar face here in Adelaide, speaks a lot at the Adelaide Freedom Rallies, and it was really good to catch up with him. And you know, you see a lot of these people at these rallies, and they talk, you know, they give their little 5-minute little burst, and you think, you know what, I'd like to hear more from this guy. And this is exactly what we did with Tim, and it was bloody good.
We're going to play you a snippet in the podcast. We'll play you a little story that Tim told us. It really kind of puts you back into the mindset. So here it is. Here's Tim telling us his awesome story, a little teaser. The full interview is on our podcast channel, so feel free to go and check it out. We implore you. His message is so positive, it's so good. And here is his story about growing up in the bush.
Let me tell you one little story, which is about survival. All right. Now, it's not a survival as in a Mad Max scenario. It's survival way back in the day. A young boy comes home from school. He's 10 years old. And on a Friday evening, when he comes home from school, mum and dad, well, they're already drunk. And so he doesn't want to be there for the weekend. So he gets on his push bike. He gets his dogs. He goes and gets the ferrets. And I don't know whether all your people know what ferrets are, but they're used for chasing rabbits out of the burrow. And you put nets over the hole at the end of the burrows and put the ferret down there. And he chased the rabbits out, right? And you catch the rabbits, kill the rabbit. So you got food. So, and he grabs the rifle, the 22 caliber rifle, and two boxes of bullets. And off he goes for the weekend. And he's out in the bush all weekend and he sleeps with the dogs, keeps warm. And if it's raining, he's got a couple of spots where he can hide in logs and things like that. And he comes home and he always comes home with at least 20 to 30 rabbits. And so the family's got meat for the week, some to sell, and he keeps the skins. He sells the skins. So at 10 years of age, this kid's supplying meat to the family. His mum and dad, they don't have a lot of money left over for food by the time they've had a few drinks and a few smokes. And people wonder why I failed at school. At 10 years of age, I was that kid out catching rabbits out in the bush with a rifle on my own with the dogs. Now, if you send a 10-year-old kid out into the bush today with a rifle, dogs, and a ferret, I don't think you got much chance of pleading sanity. However, back then, that's how we survived. And so when people say, Tim, do you think you could survive? Oh, hell yes. Yeah, just let me loose in the bush, I'll be just fine.
Wow, that's resilience right there, and that is what's needed, definitely.
But that's how we had to grow up. That's how so many of us kids grew up back in the day, back in the 50s and 60s. Because we lived, when I say we lived in the bush, we lived in the
Lived in the
bush.
bush, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like if this was America, we'd be full-blown hillbillies, brother. We'd be rednecks to the nth degree, right? But you reinvent yourself, you grow, you develop, you become better and better and stronger and stronger. And that's what this has got to be all about. This is the opportunity where, you know, mum and dad may not be alcoholics, but the world's gone to hell in a handbag. So you've got to get better. You've got to adapt. You've got to find a way, just like the kids back then did. We had to find a way.
Whoa. Can you imagine that? What would happen if we put you out there in the bush with the 22, Sam, and a couple of ferrets?
I can dare say I wouldn't hit a bloody thing.
You wouldn't feed the family with
No,
rabbit meat?
we would all be starving. We would be in dire straits.
That is the choice we seem to be making. There's a lot of that choice. We're talking about building community, building groups, creating a positive vibe, a positive message for everyone to go forward. Instead of focusing on the doom and gloom, Tim has a very positive message for us about knowing that your voice and your thoughts carry frequency. So we want to keep the frequencies as positive as we can so that we can lead our future. We can create our future into a positive future where we have a sense of community instead of a sense of isolation that we have now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that was a really cool interview. That was a really good picnic. But then Sam and the Vaxman were called yet again into action, and we haven't slept, listeners. We're doing this all for you. And we got to interview another very important resistance fighter down here in the prison colony.
Yeah, this was a this was a you know this is a quite a big deal, I guess. We are a fledgling podcast, and to have Monica Smith from Reignite Democracy Australia come on and have a chat with us was bloody good.
She is a real leader of the resistance movement down here in the prison colony. And she really is like, Sam, sorry, but I got to admit it to our listeners. We claim to be at the front lines of the resistance in the prison colony, but we're not really. We're kind of like, we're in the back with the commissar, having our tin sardines and everything, maybe hanging out with Klinger. We're not in the front lines.
Yeah, we're leaning up against the wall having a smoke, this is a woman that lived in the most locked down city in the world over the last 2 years.
They were locked down for over 100 days, I believe, at one point, maybe even more.
And obviously they locked down over like six cases, and now that's running rampant, and the rules have changed again. So it's very interesting to see how the definition of their standards keep changing.
Absolutely. And we do see like she was in Melbourne under Dictator Dan's oppressive tyranny.
Not an easy
She,
place to be.
not at all. I wouldn't want to be there personally. I mean, we mentioned Victoria and having maybe a couple of days vacation in a tent, and I said, no, 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 I'm not going to Victoria, no way. So she's there. She lives in Melbourne, and not only does she live there, but she's been arrested. And she told us a story about why she was arrested, and that blew my mind. I could not believe it.
Oh yeah, you if I think one of the words that comes to mind when you think about her is integrity, and that is something she has in bucket loads.
She was, she chose to stay in isolation, incarcerated in isolation, because she refused to accept certain conditions that were more imposing on her than a machete killer. Like her lawyer said, you have worse conditions than a machete killer.
Yeah,
That's insane.
and that's Victoria.
Wow.
That should be on a number plate, shouldn't
So this is, let's just play it. Let's just have Monica explain how she got put into prison for incitement. Have a listen.
Sure. Well, I'll just give you a really easy example to understand what incitement is. Incitement is obviously supposed to be for serious crimes like armed robbery, murder, I think things like that. So if I incite someone to commit a murder, I'm also, culpable for that crime. But in this case, it's kind of like we went driving and I convinced you to park in a no parking zone and you got a parking fine. And I'm going to get charged with criminal charges because I encouraged you to park there. This is how bad this is what it actually is, because COVID restrictions are only finable offenses. Okay. So if I encourage someone to go to a protest or break fine of restrictions or not wear a mask, their punishment is only a fine. Okay. But I am being criminally charged for apparently, allegedly, convincing people to break the COVID restrictions. So it's a joke, obviously.
Clearly.
So anyway, but yeah, I was followed. I was arrested by seven plainclothes investigative police, whatever. And the bail conditions were so bad that I rejected them and went to prison for 22 days in solitary confinement. So no sunshine, no breeze, no nothing for 22 days because I didn't. Well, one of the reasons was because I didn't want to get a PCR test, but they still should have let me out after that, and they didn't.
Whoa. That's a heck of a story, huh, Sam?
Like I said, pretty impressive, isn't it?
Principles, courage,
Integrity.
integrity. Very important and very hard to find in the prison colony. A lot of people have said, you know what? I want to keep myself healthy. I want to stay healthy. I can't risk myself and my family. I got to stay completely protected from this virus that's out there running around. And Sam in the Vaxman said, you guys are a little bit paranoid. It's, the symptoms that we're seeing according to data and everything out there. we're seeing that this isn't that bad. So we're going to maybe opt out of enrolling ourselves and being injected with an experimental mRNA gene therapy that doesn't have a good history in animal tests, in animal trials, and animal testing. Yeah. So we opted out.
I'm happy to decline the offer.
Mm.
Yeah. That's putting it politely.
I would tell them to fuck off. But you're right. You're right, Sam. We do have to be polite. We have to stay positive, as Tim told us.
Absolutely.
And we're seeing now that the virus has mutated to have an R0 between 7 and 10. So each person will infect another 7. And then 7 times 7 equals 49. 49 times 7 equals, I don't know, whatever that is times 7 equals a lot more. And whatever that is times 7, basically you have an endemic. It's no longer a pandemic that we can stay away from. It's in the community and everyone's going to get it at a certain point.
Well, that's what they say. But, you know, we're nearing 2 years. And touch wood, I'm doing fine.
Me too. I mean, I have caught some colds.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But, and I refuse to PCR test myself.
Ah, yes. No, I'm not going down that path. I'm not fueling the propaganda machine that is thrust upon us. So yeah, you know when you get a cold.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell the difference when, you know, something is serious or when it's just a little sniffle, and you treat it accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, you look after yourself.
A little bit of chicken soup.
Yeah. But even if you're not sick, you look after yourself. You know, your supplements, your exercise, just a nice, healthy, positive outlook on life. And it's gonna take you places.
Mm. And a lot of data shows that vitamin D is very helpful if you do happen to catch the COVID. Either the alpha strain is when most of that research was coming out, or the Delta, or the new Omicron, or the new another con, or whatever it's called again, the new variants that keep coming out from the woodwork. But there's research on that, but our medical institutions have refused to sell that to the public. They refuse to inform the public. Instead, they focus on vaccines. So now the vaccines, there's a lot of research that shows that what the vaccines are doing with the new strain is a bit worrisome. And we should probably refer you back to episode 4, where we borrowed my bros Joe's podcast, the Joe Rogan Experience. We borrowed a little bit of his interview with Robert Malone, where Dr. Robert Malone said basically the Omicron is a variant, a vaccine-resistant variant, meaning it escaped the vaccine already.
With the multiple jabs that are mismatched for the current circulating virus, that's akin to repeatedly taking a flu vaccine from 2 seasons ago and hoping it's going to protect against this flu.
Well, that's one of the more confusing things about this push for people to get boosted now with Omicron, because they keep saying with Omicron we need to get, but that's a vaccine escape variant, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's the best way to handle this? And if you're a government, it's to vaccinate your way out of it.
More and more.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe us, here is the Minister for Health for Victoria. So listen to this. Like, Sam, I'm going to play you a little snippet. Now, I just want to tell our listeners, like, a lot of people wonder, how is it that evil is allowed to spread? And how is evil allowed to kind of permeate the world and create this kind of existence and oppress people and do its bad things? And we've had a lot of poets kind of offer their wisdom. One poet said, evil thrives when good men do nothing. So Sam and the Vax Man consider themselves, your hosts consider themselves to be good men, and we're trying to do our very best to get the word out. Other people have said, evil thrives because it's banal. It's so banal that people lose interest and they just stop paying attention. Why am I saying all this, Sam? Because I'm about to play for you the most banal individual in our government. His name is Martin Foley. He is Victoria's health minister. You ready for this, Sam?
All right, lay it on me.
You might want to have a cup of coffee ready because you're definitely going to need to caffeinate. This is the health minister for Victoria, who is talking about infections despite the fact that Victoria is the most vaccinated state in the prison colony. They are, and they have been, vaccinating to the extreme. And here is their health minister with what's happening now.
So more than 17% of Victorians age 18 and over have now had three doses of the COVID-19 vaccines. And this figure is growing at about 1% a day. And we continue to encourage Victorians to come forward in such strong numbers. 93% of people aged 12 and above have had their first and second doses. That meant 12,506 people came through our vaccination centres yesterday at the state level, bringing it to some 5.1 million Victorians coming through that system. In regards to COVID-19 cases, we now have 818 Victorians in hospital with COVID-19. That's a significant increase on yesterday's figure of 752. Of those 818, 118 people are in intensive care and 28 of those are on a ventilator. Tragically, two people passed away with COVID-19 yesterday, and we take this opportunity to pass on our condolences and sincere best wishes to those loved ones and families of those Victorians.
What'd you think about that, Sam? Oh, Sam, hey, Sam, wake up, wake up. You all right?
Oh, mate, you know, I'm glad you stopped that where you did, because we don't want to lose anyone.
Yeah, they might. Hello, I should probably put a sound effect to wake up the listeners. Wake up!
Maybe. My God. Oh, my goodness. Just, you know what? Give me the vaccine if it makes him shut up. Seriously, if he goes away, I'll take it for the greater good.
Now imagine your job was as a, let's call them, oh, I don't want to say the word, a journalist, because they're not really doing their job as journalists. But let's say that your job is as a journalist and you have to get double vaccinated to attend press conference. And the press conference that you're issued as a journalist is Martin Foley, Victoria's health minister. Every single day, this is your press conference.
It's not much of a trade-off, is it? You know, you keep your job and listen to this twit.
He is doing most of these now because Dictator Dan is gone. He's disappeared.
Oh, no, he's back today. He's back for holidays. He's back to his sneaky old ways, I think, you know. He's cancelling a lot of Australia Day celebrations and had his 2 cents worth on Novak Djokovic. So now he's back. Gotta say, didn't miss him much.
So I read some conspiracy theories that Dictator Dan had disappeared because he had to shed his reptilian skin. And that usually takes about 6 to 7 days.
Oh, you know, it's funny. It's funny you should say that. Okay. Because there is a guy in Victoria. His name is Dale. And he crashed a press conference of the Premier. And his immediate reaction was, that ain't him. That ain't real. There's something wrong with that dude.
Dale said that.
Yes, yes. You know what? When we're done wrapping up here, I will shoot you his little bio thingy, and you go through his stuff.
All right.
Yep.
Wow. So if Dale said it, I believe it. I mean, it's got to be true.
Wow.
There is something off about that guy. I'm sorry.
There's something very, you know, very off about him. Yeah.
Mm. So they see their infections rising. Mm-hmm. They keep boosting. He said there's over 70% of 16-year-olds and above have boosted. So they have three vaccines inside of them that are supposed to protect them from the coronavirus. Now, originally, if what they say is true, the vaccines were tailored to deal with the spike protein on the alpha strain, the original Wuhan strain. Mm-hmm. However, as we've discussed endlessly, it almost seems, the virus mutates because it is a coronavirus. That's what coronaviruses do. That's why you can never inject or vaccinate yourself against a seasonal flu, because each seasonal flu is different from the previous season.
That's right. We're always, you know, with flu shots especially, we're always behind the eight ball when it comes to vaccinations. They're ineffective. They don't work. I think I'm okay with saying that, aren't I? I'm not going to.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not going to get fact checked, am I?
Well, we're not Facebook, so you're still safe here. But I'll send a memo to Zuckerberg and see if you're in the clear.
I'm sure he's listening. I have no doubt he's listening.
He sent his chat bots just listening. Oh, yeah. See what we say about him. So this the coronavirus, any coronavirus, which is what we're under now, these pandemic rules, they mutate. And basically, they're called coronaviruses because they have these spike proteins on the outside. And that's what mutates. So these spike proteins, they find a new, better way to attach themselves to your ACE2 receptors and get into your lungs and get into your system, right, to reproduce and infect you. However, these proteins change a lot. They change very fast. So we're currently now at the Omicron protein, right? And the Omicron has, I think, 47 genetic variations. It puts it in a different genetic evolutionary tree. That's a whole other discussion. Interesting talk about that on the Dark Horse podcast. So Brett Weinstein and Heather Hyene, they're evolutionary biologists, and they discuss where the Omicron strain, how it's different from the Delta, and it seems like it's an earlier strain that was held back. In any case, the vaccine for the Alpha strain is no longer effective against the Omicron strain because the Omicron strain has evolved to resist the vaccines. So what has this done? I'll show you a little case study, Sam. So here's, if you follow with me here, and I'm about to get a little bit lectury, so please forgive me if I bore the listeners.
We've had a big week, so let's kind of.
All right, I'll keep it into a seminar.
Okay. All right, you got it.
All right, little power seminar. So this is Bremen. It's the town of Bremen. It's the most vaccinated state in Germany. So this area of Germany, Bremen. It's up to 84% of the population in Bremen. It's one of Germany's 16 federal states, and it's one of the smallest ones. It only has 700,000 people, less than that. However, this particular part of Germany, this state, has the highest rate of infection of Omicron. So they have the highest vaccination rate as well as the highest rate of infection to Omicron. More data from Germany has been released that shows that basically in Germany, the indications or the implications of this data are that people who have the vaccine may no longer be able to have immunity against any similar type of virus, meaning a coronavirus or a flu. So basically, they did a study, and in their data, and we'll post this link on our Telegram channel so that you can follow along. So basically they had German Omicron cases, December 30 was the cutoff date, 2021. And they looked at, the data says there was 4,020 fully vaccinated, and they have triples. So they not only do double vaccinated, but they triple, were infected with the Omicron. Only 186 unvaccinated were infected with the Omicron. And basically, when they broke down the numbers, because obviously there's more vaccinated than unvaccinated, it basically said 7% of unvaccinated will catch and have some sort of symptoms for the Omicron, whereas 57%, 6 out of 10 people, 60% almost, of fully vaccinated, that's triple and double in this thing, fully vaccinated, will have problems with the Omicron. And the reason is because if you have your immune system reduced and compromised because of the strains that are evolving, you might be at 12.3% immunity for those types of infection compared to an unvaccinated person who has never seen that before and they have 100% natural immunity.
Yep. So basically what you're saying is, the vaccines are fucking with people's immunity. If you're unvaccinated and you happen to pick this thing up, your immune system is going to fight it off a hell of a lot better than a vaccinated person.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you get the added benefit of having a natural immunity to this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's basically the gist of what you're saying.
The T cells that are produced by the vaccines are so effective at recognizing the alpha strain that they pop up into being right away, but they're memory cells. So their quick memory allows them to activate a lot quicker than your D cells, which are the original sort of like defender cells that then look at a virus, recognize it, and then ask the T cells to come and help out. But the D cells are the ones that get there first and start coagulating and dealing with the virus.
See, but the T cells, they've still got a bloody important job to do, because they're the ones that kind of sit on top of a mountaintop and snipe, you know, cancer cells that are coming through.
Basically it. Yeah. And these mRNA gene therapies were originally made to deal with cancer, because they would create certain T cells to deal with the cancer cells. And those that T immunity would come and attack the cancer cell. They would recognize exactly what the cell looked like. But we're dealing with strains of a protein on a coronavirus. Wow. So yeah. Basically, this article that's explaining this concluded, if I may read just a little bit, Sam, and then I'll go off lecture mode. The vaccinated fare so badly against Omicron because vaccine-induced antibodies against the Wuhan alpha spike protein are next to useless against Omicron. So the underlying progressive immune system damage wrought by incessant spike protein production has almost nothing to hide behind, nothing to offset itself against. There is no defense, or very little defense, to stop the Omicron, which should be a very mild strain for us, the unvaccinated, from reproducing and affecting the immune system and the body of a person who has such low immunity, the double and triple vaxxed.
But there is some good news.
Oof, I love that.
Yeah, well, so today the Pfizer CEO has come out and said, you know what? We've got a vaccine in development for Omicron, and it will be ready. Yes, I know. So that will be ready in March.
Does that mean we start again? So we're going to be single and then double vax for the new one, but we won't count the Delta vaxes that we put in our body?
So we've got another, you know, at least 4 months of incessant bullshit that we need to wade through.
Wow.
Yeah.
How are they going to sell that, though?
They're already selling it. They're already selling it with a shitload of fear.
You know, true.
The media are doing their jobs, like nice paid little puppets that they are. And, you know, I just want to hope that people start, again, I've said it before, sifting through the bullshit. I believe that people will eventually see through this. They have to.
Tim, in our interview with Tim, he said that one of the worst parts about this whole pandemic and everything that's happening, the mandates, the directions, the oppression, the tyranny, is the fear. And he said that fear is insidious. And once it gets in your head, then you make bad decisions. And maybe the health ministers are right. Because it seems like the Omicron is a big deal to the double vaccinated. So what do? Well, they ask them to vaccinate more, even less immunity. This is that same health minister. Sorry, Sam, but I got to play this, man, because this is the banality of you.
So you've gone into lecture mode, and now you're going to play two clips of this guy.
Sorry, mate. We got to do it for the listeners. We got to put it forward. Right. Now, the reason...
Get a cup of coffee.
All right, listeners, looks like we lost Sam. I think he's passed out on the floor. The reason that I'm playing this for you, Sam, I know it's going to bore you, but it's because of that banality of evil. So we now know the data. We've seen Bremen as a case study. We've seen the German stats, not only Germany, the UK report is quite accurate, the technical report. It comes out once a month and it's spot on. It has really good data and it shows that the level of death among the double vaccinated in comparison to the unvaccinated is double the mortality rate. For every one unvaxxed person that dies, two unvaxxed people are dying. That's insane. And now we know from this data that these vaccines are not a good idea. We know that the boosters are the same thing. However, you are a worker in the prison colony and you're just trying to do your job and feed the family and you just want to work in a warehouse, packing up chicken legs and sending it off to the supermarkets. And you never thought that your government would tell you that you need to get vaccinated because you don't work in a hospital. But check this out, Sam.
So we know that with 93% of Victorians now double dosed, that has put us in a very good position to respond to the COVID-19 cases when it was a Delta variant, and we're now having to move on and deal with the Omicron variant. But it's clear that we do need to increase our rate of third dose coverage to address that matter. And that's why under the new pandemic orders that I intend to sign off today, the following workers will soon be required to show evidence that they have received that 3 vaccine dose, including the third dose, or to have a valid medical exemption before attending work. And those groups are
So I'll stop it there, Sam, because it's about 5 minutes of groups that need to get boosted in order to go back to work.
What I'm hearing is third shot, absolute requirement to keep your job. You know, I'd like to say I'm surprised, but I'm not. You know, we kind of knew this was coming.
They're health ministers. They're the government. They have access to all the data. They have to know what's happening.
Their heads are so far up their ass, it's not funny. I would like to know what other portfolios he has had before he grabbed the health one.
Ooh.
I would actually like to know what his background is and if it is indeed in health.
Sam. That's why you're the best co-host in the business, Sam, because you have taken us to the PCR coin moment.
PCR conflict of interest list. Here is where you get your PCR coin.
Here at PCR, the Prison Colony Resistance, we not only pride ourselves on breaking down the virus for you, and we not only pride ourselves on showing you what's happening in Australia, but we also like handing out our PCR official cryptocurrency, the PCR coin. And what the PCR coin is, it is a conflict of interest coin. And who do we award this to? The person with the highest conflict of interest. And this week, our prize, our PCR coin for conflict of interest, is not Martin Foley. In fact, it is the head of APRA. Dun, dun, dun. Ooh. Gil Callister.
Okay.
Now, Gil Callister, if you're not familiar with Australia, and you might be wondering, Vax man, I hear what you're saying. I know the data's out there, but the doctors, they have to be protesting, right? They have to be telling people before they jab them, listen, mate, don't do it. But then the person says, no, I have to. I consent. I want my job. But it's not actually like that, is it?
It's fine.
The doctors are told to do this. And if they go off script, if they recommend alternative treatments, if they tell you not what the TGA vaccines and all that, if they tell you to do something different, you might get unlicensed or deregistered. And the people that control that is APRA. So APRA, it stands for the Australian Health Practitioner Regulation Agency. And basically, they handle the national registration and accreditation scheme. And if you don't follow the COVID narrative of vaccines, you get deregistered. We've seen it happen to doctors in Victoria. So this, the head of APRA, are you ready for this, Sam?
All right, lay it on me.
All right, so this is from a reputable source. It's from the office of Senator Gerard Rennick, right? Do you know him, Sam? Gerard Rennick?
Yes, very familiar with him.
Okay, so his office put this out. Now, Gil Callister, and I'm going to read a bit, the public servant responsible for the wards of the state breached her duty to care for some of Victoria's most vulnerable children. Now, this was determined by a court. The court described their case as a horror story and said that the Secretary of the Department of Human Services, our PCR coin recipient, Gil Callister, bore some of the responsibility for what happened to the siblings. It was a breach, a fundamental breach in her duty of care as the Secretary of the Department of Human Services for what happened to those kids. Now, they don't go into details about what happened to the kids, but it is a horror case. Gil Callister is now the chair of APRA. And she's also an adjunct professor at Monash University. And she's the proud recipient of millions and millions of dollars from the Gates Foundation.
Wow. He's got his little spindly little fingers just all over the globe, hasn't he?
Mm.
Yep. Well, he sees what he wants. He goes out and he gets it no matter the cost. Are people out there that easily bought? That's my question. Are they so, or are they completely, I don't know, under a spell that they think they're doing this for some kind of greater good?
It seems that people can be easily bought. I'd go with that. Razor.
Hey, as soon as my royalties come in, I'm out of here.
That's true. You proved it at the beginning of the podcast. Money talks and vaccine talks walks.
That's true. That's very true.
The PCR coin list.
So there is our PCR coin recipient, Gil Callister. Congratulations, Gil. You get the PCR coin of the week.
The inaugural coin.
Well, we gave away a couple of coins in the last episode.
Unofficially.
Yeah, so unofficially, that's correct. Unofficially. Those were our pre-mint coins. But for now, this is the official PCR coin off to Gil Callister. We looked at the Victoria Health Minister, Martin Foley, and he's talking about how he has to protect certain occupations by mandating booster shots. And one of those occupations was the abattoirs, food distribution center, drivers, and people who work in food production. Now, the reason that they're mandated, one of the big reasons, is because there are food shortages in the prison colony.
This is true. We're on rations at the moment, aren't we? Supermarkets have imposed limits on products again, toilet paper, pharmaceuticals, you know, like aspirin, ibuprofen, all that kind of stuff. Chicken and meat, they've all got purchase limits on them now. Because food shortages are here, and they're saying it is because there are so many people in isolation who are either sick or close contact that, you know, the whole country is falling apart.
That is the official narrative.
But
people come into the same room, or like we said in the last episode, it depends. If you're in South Australia, you're in the same room for 15 minutes. But if you're in any other state, it's in the same room for 4 hours.
That's right.
And depends, right? And if you're in that category and that person has tested positive, you have to self-isolate for 14 days at home and not go to work. And this, according to our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, is causing drivers who deliver food, warehouse workers who package the food, distribution centers that box the food for the truck drivers, they're not going to work. So there's so many people out there being affected by close contacts of a positive Omicron case that they are self-isolating. And there's so many that we can't get chicken nuggets at our local Woolworths.
Oh, yeah, it's funny. You know, this is the official story. But if you are, and look, you know what, let's just call it what it is. We are a resistance movement. So if you have been around this type of movement for the last, say, 18 months, you would have heard a lot of people talking about upcoming food shortages. Now, I first heard about this back in, say, August, September of last year. And when I first heard it, I thought, surely not. Surely this will not come to fruition. But trust your gut. We did like a little bit of a bulk purchase order, and we've got our supplies, you know, if shit really does hit the fan. But it's just very interesting to see these stories come true. Now, it's just another conspiracy theory that has actually come to fruition.
Exactly. And we know that we're about 4 years, maybe five, according to different experts, past peak oil. They're talking about how desertification is eating up a lot of where they grow the food. We've also heard about cornfields turned to ethanol, bioethanol, to like power cars. We've heard about all the different things about why shortages are happening. But the excuses given here that people are quarantining versus the excuses given for bare shelves in supermarkets in other parts of the world, they're not the same. They're all different, but the end result is all the same. We're not getting any food in the supermarkets.
And is this another way to kind of, you know, put the foot on our throat and make us miserable? I don't know. It makes you think, doesn't it?
Mm. I think, wasn't it one of his famous expression, you will eat the bugs? Our esteemed Klaus Schwab that's mentioned in Tim's interview as well.
Yes.
So what happens? Well,
that just, you know, that's kind of a nice little tie into, you know, Bill Gates. He owns the most amount of land in, like, farmland in the US, right? He wants people to eat this fake meat, this Franken meat. And, you know, if I'm not touching that, mate, there's no way I'm even entertaining that idea.
I don't mind a nice soy burger every now and then. It's a kind of a new change.
No. See, soy and corn, if it comes from the US or anywhere really, it is highly genetically modified. Soy especially is a xenoestrogen. And that in males is not great.
Are you saying I'm becoming a soy boy? Them's fighting words, Sam. We're going to throw down next time we see each other. You just call me a soy boy, mate.
I do know you like your soy lattes, but, you know, if the soybean fits.
Oh, man, that's it. I'm drawing a line.
Hey, it's a little bit of free advice.
Thank you, Sam. I'll take that on board.
Anytime.
So the food shortages, this stuff is happening, but we're also, as we told you in previous episodes, also coming up to an election. And this election, it looks like a lot of different factors are at play, not only the mandates and the directions and the forced vaccinations and the kids and the, but we also have food shortages. Now that's where it gets interesting, because if, what is it that they say? The way to a man's heart is through his belly. Well, the way to a man's vote is also through his belly.
So the government will, you know, come in at the 11th hour and present us with banquets and copious amounts of food and say, please vote for us. Look what we've done for you. You know, we've spent 2 years giving it to you, but look what we're doing now. Yeah,
The Hegelian dialectic. Let's create a problem that then we'll fix, and then we'll claim that we will break your leg and then give you free medical treatment. Hey. It's also, I think it's Scott Morrison's heart grew two sizes that day because ScoMo, do you want to hear what ScoMo did? He changed the rules and he said, listen, mate, it's the Omicron. It's all good. It's all good. Look, if you test positive, but you don't got any symptoms, you're asymptomatic, come on down. Keep working. Keep the food in the supermarkets. We got to get elected. Please keep, come to work. And that's the new policy.
Yep. And just another policy change.
Now, the question is, will our esteemed Cruella de Spurrier take that on board? Will Premier Marshmallow also take that on board and change the close contact rules in SA?
I would think not. But it has been interesting here down in South Australia. Spurrier has, I've only seen her at one press conference. I usually grab a couple of sound bites for our shows, but she hasn't given me enough material this week, which is unusual. And there are also some pretty swirling rumors going around that she is about to resign.
Oof. No. Say it in so, Sam.
I know. I would I would hate to think that she would, because she does provide such great material. But, you know, speaking of our South Australian politicians, we have the police chief, we have the premier, and we have the leader of the opposition, all in isolation because they've either tested positive or they've been in the same room as a positive case. So, you know, this it's all falling apart.
Maybe that's why the shortages are happening. We don't have government to get it to our shelves. We've lost the police ministry. We've lost our premier. We lost the opposition.
Well, we have become so reliant on the government to keep us safe over the last 2 years, haven't we?
Give me some boost. Give me the booster. I need it.
Goodness me.
So interesting. So you heard it here first, listeners. Rumors swirling about. Will Professor Spurrier be on the outs? Keep this channel tuned and come in next week at the same PCR time at the same PCR channel.
Or it could just be, you know, grade A bullshit.
More rumors on the different socials. It's hard to know what's true, what's not.
It really is. But let's just look at everything and poke a big stick at it and see what happens.
So here's a little comment on that sort of area, right? Like, we're not sure if this is true, but we're not discounting it 100% because it does have elements of truth.
Well, you can't discount anything these days. You really can't, because, you know, over the past 2 years, time has actually shown us that, you know, anything can happen on any given day.
It comes true 6 months later, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Kazakhstan, I'm sure everyone's been following in the news. If you're listening to this podcast, it's because you're probably interested in politics and vaccinations and world economy and all that stuff. Or in Kazakhstan,
government and anti-mandates and anything anti, that's probably why you're listening as well.
And the most anti-government protest happened in Kazakhstan. They overturned, they made the government run away. The president's gone. His son is gone.
Can we do that here?
So here is the thing. Like, they're saying, the news, the mass legacy media, the mass media is saying that it's because the gas prices shot up so much that inflation caused people to oust the government by protesting by the millions in the street. However, here is our man on the street, sort of like a PCR, but over and focused on the Kazakhstan area. His name is Plasma. So let me just play you what Plasma said. It's a quick minute and a half, and he's not quite as boring. No, he's not boring at all, but he's no Martin Foley, I'll give you that. So this is Plasma breaking down what's happening in Kazakhstan for the Prison Colony Resistance channel.
Central uprising at the time in Kazakhstan, there was a lot of people were tangling with the military there and, you know, some problems with the police, etc. That was happening yesterday. But a lot has changed in 24 hours. A lot has changed. The president has fled the country. The prime minister has fled the country and the government. And the government has been completely collapsed, it's disbanded. They're trying to flee as we're speaking. The president's son, I think it was, he was meant to take over the secret services, it's kind of like the KGB of Kazakhstan. He's fled the country. Soldiers and military are trying to flee the country, but they're getting stopped by people and protesters, uprisers basically, who are arresting them on the way. I've got some videos of that, I'll show you now. The police are getting arrested if they're not joining them. They're being basically, government buildings are all on fire. And politicians' houses are on fire. Politicians are getting grabbed and arrested, or their houses are on fire. I've seen doctors getting arrested and people pulled out of vaccination centres, etc., arrested, which I have videos for as well. So people are just arresting all of them. They've taken over armories, and I have videos of that as well. They're finding mortars, machine guns, and the guns have come out as well. They've robbed all the banks, and it seems like they're going all out. Great stuff. So, anyway, contrary to popular belief or what they're saying on the internet through the news channels or what you'll hear on, you know, BBC News, etc., it is not because of liquid gas fuel and the prices that have risen there. That's what they're saying. It's not about that. It's about vaccinations, and it's about the Vax Pass and the need for QR codes, etc. And The thing that finally pushed it over the edge was people couldn't go to the bank and withdraw their money unless they had a vaccination pass and the digital ID, which they're trying to bring in everywhere else as well. And within the space of 24 hours, they've overthrown the government and the government has fucking fled. So, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Great news. Great stuff.
There it is. So you heard it here first, PCR listeners. The reason that Kazakhstan's government was overturned was not gas prices. According to our man on the street, it's because they tried to cut off unvaccinated people's bank accounts. They tried to cut them away, cut them off from their money.
Yeah, well, this is what we fear for this country. You know, once they start linking these passports to your driver's license, your bank accounts, you are going to, there's going to be a lot of people pissed off and ready to fight.
That might lead to some of the stuff that Tim was talking about in yesterday's interview. I'll give you a little spoiler here. He was mentioning that in a certain state, they are training ex-military and ex-police on how to arrest the politicians. So maybe this is coming. Maybe this is on the horizon. I also have a little bit of conspiracy theory as well. I've heard rumors on the socials that the government was considering canceling, for the unvaccinated, canceling any Australian business number. Now, that is a number that you need to start a little sole trader, like a sole proprietorship, like start a little business. So not an incorporated business, but a personal business. You need an Australian business number. And they're also saying that if you're not vaccinated, again, this is rumor, that they would not issue you a tax file number, basically cutting you off from any sort of income.
Yeah, look, I've heard the same thing. And again, time will tell. Maybe this is a bit of a spoiler alert, because, you know, a lot of things that have been kind of, you know, oh, you're nuts, it's not going to happen. Well, guess what? It's happened. So, yeah, again, don't discount anything.
Hmm. Yeah, and to end on that depressing note of things that we didn't think would happen, because we've seen the world data, literally six countries in the EU have said, do not give the Moderna to young people. And that means under 30, not kids, under 30-year-olds, because of the risk of heart failure, myocarditis and pericarditis. So six countries, France, Finland, Germany, Sweden, Iceland, Denmark, they recommend not giving the Moderna to the under 30s. However, in our country, Sam, here on January 10th, 2022, we officially started vaccinating 5 to 11-year-olds.
Yeah, it's a sad day. And people who have made these decisions to do this, they will be punished. They will get what is coming to them, because it is an unnecessary thing to happen. If you try to listen to doctors out there, I know, you know, people who are listening to this are obviously well aware of the people who are speaking out against it, but, and there are people speaking out against it, and I really hope that these people who have made these decisions and enforcing this, you know, disgusting act on these kids, I hope they pay. There will be a place in hell for them.
Mm. In Victoria, the schools, the very place that you send your children to be educated and protected while they're away from your care, are going to be used as vaccination sites for this mRNA gene therapy in Victoria as soon as the term begins in late January.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the mandates coming for kids, and it'll be a condition for education soon enough.
Wow. Wow. So we've shown you here, listeners, we've gone through the data as best we can in you know, an audio podcast with a lot of boring ministers and boring lectures from the Vax Man. But we've tried to explain why these vaccines are not a good thing. And why are you going to put them into children who have no effect, because they're unvaccinated? They have full immunity against a mild flu. But once you start injecting them with these immunity suppressors, they might start being affected by the Omicron or whatever variant comes next, in addition to the risk of giving them myocarditis, pericarditis, in addition to the lipid nanoparticles that envelops the mRNA that helps it to enter the cell. Those are building up in your bone marrow. And your bone marrow is where your very blood cells are produced, where your white blood cells are produced. That's one place you don't want lipid nanoparticles, I'll tell you that much.
No, this is, words actually, I have no words for this. It hurts. Mm. It hurts that, you know, parents are going through this. I know it's out of fear. I know it's because they haven't had the right information. And I know it's because they don't want to be shut out of a society that they think they're going to be getting back.
Multifactorial reasoning. I think the fear that they're feeling is probably real from this data showing.
It's real. It's real for them. Yeah.
It's real for them.
Yeah, most definitely.
Because they have, as weird as it says to say it, they have AIDS because they have acquired an immune deficiency from a vaccine. So they don't have AIDS. They don't have a syndrome. They have acquired immune deficiency from an mRNA gene therapy, whatever that spells. But so they are afraid, and they're putting that fear into their young. They think that their young might suffer the same symptoms that they will, being immunosuppressed. But no, kids are immune, but they can't listen to that because of that fear. So we're hoping that this podcast, we're hoping that any information that's out there through our Telegram channel, through our Twitter feed, through our Instagram, please share any information that you see with parents. Tell them the truth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And share the info.
Don't be afraid to have the conversation, because, you know, you might be pleasantly surprised at what happens when you start talking.
There is that resistance that we're seeing on the street of double vaccinated being told, oh, you got a triple vax. And then they're thinking, but wait a minute, I can still catch it. And they're connecting the dots and they're starting to say, I don't trust you so much anymore. Yeah. So hopefully we can spur that along.
Hopefully we can. It's been a big week.
Mm. I'm sleepy, Sam. I got to get to bed.
It's been a big week, and, you know, no doubt, next week is going to be even bigger.
But we don't mind. We here at PCR, at the Prison Colony Resistance, we're here working for you listeners. We're here trying to get the information out. So if you have anything to share with us, please send us an email. Our email address is prisoncolonyresistance@protonmail.com. That's prisoncolonyresistance@protonmail.com. We'll look out for your email, any topics that you want us to discuss, any people that you'd like us to interview, and give our podcast as a platform for them to share their resistance information. Please send us an email, and we'll be in touch. And Sam has been our socials man. Where can they get a hold of us on the socials, Sam?
You can find us at Twitter. You can find us at Instagram and on Telegram. And our podcast is basically everywhere you get podcasts.
We're trying. We're spreading the word.
We are spreading the word. So remember, folks, resist, live free, and do not comply.
Thanks for coming tonight. This is the Vax Man. Thanks again. This has been Prison Colony Resistance, where you come to get your PCR test for truth.